Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 128 of In Tech We Trust. I'm Eugene Porter de Leon, at Porter de Leon on Twitter, and we have a very special episode today where we get the personal story of one person who is building a technology business from scratch in Melbourne, Australia.
You never know anybody, you know, so you're always forced to really like put yourself out there and constantly go up and introduce yourself.
And for those of you listening to this when it posts, we want everyone to know that there will be three members of the In Tech We Trust crew, Rick, Gabe, and myself, at VMworld 2017 in Las Vegas. And for those of you who have asked, yes, we will have lots of stickers. You can find us at the podcast booth in VM Village. Yes, you heard that right. This year, VMware will be hosting two dedicated booths specifically for podcasting, and the In Tech We Trust crew will be there on Monday around lunchtime. So feel free to stop by, say hi. Also, I will have copies of the vTrail map as well. Thanks to all those in the community for contributing to this guide. Much appreciated. Now, on to the show. In Tech We Trust. We're not sure about. We're joined by Stephanie Kalinin, country manager for Australia and New Zealand for Instart Logic, to talk about moving to a new country, building a client base, and really kind of building a business from scratch. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Eugene. Thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Oh, well, it's great to have you on the show, Stephanie. So what was the personal journey that led you to moving to Australia, Melbourne, and starting basically a business? And maybe you can kind of give us a little bit more clarification on exactly what you're building in Australia and kind of what led up to you building this business out from scratch and engaging and kind of creating something totally new.
Sure. So our firm, Instart Logic, is a Silicon Valley kind of high growth small company right now. And we've had tremendous success in the US as well as Europe. And the company was really looking at the charter, how to build out Asia Pacific with kind of Australia being the starting point. My experience in my career, I've been in kind of the application delivery space for over 6 years. So they were looking for somebody to bring on into the market who, you know, had industry knowledge and experience, which was more important at the time to them than necessarily local customer knowledge per se. And so when I was speaking with them, it was originally just looking at some various roles within North America. And I expressed that my main interest was to do something international and really look at building a business, something that was a little bit more entrepreneurial than just traditional type of sales leadership roles, like as in first line management or, you know, field marketing or individual contributor roles. And I wanted something that was a little bit more broad. And so the opportunity came up. It was kind of perfect timing where, you know, we were having discussions and there's this opportunity and need for the organization to kind of start taking advantage of the momentum in the Asia Pacific and Australia marketplace. And, you know, Australia became the launch pad for Asia Pacific, primarily just because of some of, you know, one strategic customer that was in this region, you know, that's a telco and had tremendous potential to really help with our go-to-market, not only in Australia, but Asia Pacific, and then from an international partnership perspective as well. You know, in Melbourne is where they're located. So in order to be closest to your customer and start really building relationships and trust, it was essential to be in a spot that was, you know, kind of where I could work out of their office and have day-to-day interaction. And, you know, to your earlier part of the question of kind of what really drove me to look at wanting to do something international, you know, I look back as far back as college, you know, I was a French minor and had the opportunity to study abroad. And I think I realized during that study abroad that, you know, it was a tremendous period of personal growth just because you're out of your comfort zone and it's really interesting and your world becomes so much bigger with all the people that you meet and just those new experiences. And I knew, you know, even coming out of college that I wanted to do some sort of international assignment or live abroad for, you know, a certain period of my life. And what I found is that, you know, larger organizations, it's harder to find the exact right role. Where smaller organizations like the firm I joined, you know, you really can take on a much more entrepreneurial role. And it's, you really do feel like the CEO of your own business because, you know, I'm doing everything from business development, marketing, customer success, product development, finances for the region. So I really have my hands in everything. And it's just, it's a really exciting role. It's been a great, you know, personal and professional kind of growth opportunity.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it sounds like you really knew that you wanted to do this from early on. You chose this, you found a small organization that gave you that kind of entrepreneurial experience, and you went for it. And like you said, in a smaller organization, it's easier to find, or really to find some white space and map out your own course. And maybe you can give us an idea of, specifically in Melbourne, from my understanding, and was that if when in Melbourne, it's not an easy market, from especially coming from an American, you know, standpoint. If you haven't grown up in Melbourne, you haven't gone to school with some of the people within the business community, it's not easy to break in there. So that's a difficult challenge. Maybe you can kind of walk us through how what were some of the challenges that you faced and kind of how you fought your way through that.
So yeah, I think there is, you know, this broad stereotype that Australians are, you know, the friendliest people ever.
So that's not true. They're not the friendliest.
They are friendly. They are friendly, but.
And they barbecue a lot. That's the other
thing. They do barbecue a lot, and learned a lot of tips there. But, you know, it's one of those regions that, to your point, yeah, if you're not from here, it takes a lot longer to build trust. Well, I think, you know, folks are open to meeting with you and hearing what you have to say. Before you actually truly start making progress, it takes some time. You know, one of the things that perhaps I had underestimated a bit of coming out here and networking for a larger firm, you know, it's not like working for Deloitte or a consulting firm where there's hundreds of coworkers that you have on the ground that can help provide a soft landing. I mean, we're coming out here to start up the region, so not having day-to-day coworkers or even locals from a partnership perspective, you know, just makes it a little bit more challenging, you know, from just the simplest things, finding your spots to go for lunch, you know, getting acclimated, finding a place to live, you know, kind of building out your social circles. But then professionally, you know, you're really trying to figure out where to go. And so I did have, you know, a handful of contacts in this region. So I, of course, reached out to them immediately to see if we could start networking through their Rolodex a bit. And, you know, I did find that helpful, but that sort of thing takes time as well. You know, it doesn't happen immediately. So I just spent a lot of time with our existing customers, you know, asking them for introductions to people in the industry and their peers. You know, I find that when you're new, you're constantly, like, prospecting in a way. You know, you're always, even on a personal basis, you know, a friend of a friend who may live here, you're constantly writing these creative emails of how will they go have coffee with you, or
yeah, from like a personal, because it sounds like there's that personal effort and professional effort, and especially in this situation, it seems like those two are really incredibly integrated and connected, even more so than you would be if you're, you know, say operating your own country. You don't have a lot of people both in the friend category and in sort of the professional contact category, so those two must be incredibly tightly woven together.
They are. They are, because I will say this, Australians are, it's a pretty social culture. So, you know, to get people out of the office, to go have coffee, to go have a glass of wine, you know, to do dinners and lunches, it's quite a bit easier, I found, than in the US. And I think it has to do with kind of just the work-life balance. I think Australians definitely have a better handle on work-life balance than in the US, where, you know, we're working 70, 80 hours a week.
Yes, like I just finished a 19-hour day yesterday, so I can understand that. Yeah, there's a bit of a disconnect here, I think.
Yeah, so there's been different events. You know, they've been fun events like the Australian Open or the Formula One, where you take clients, but it's still really fun because they're fun people, and you know, I've really enjoyed getting to know them personally. So you're right; it does become integrated. You know, your professional and your personal life. But you realize it just takes a little bit of time. And it's also, you know, the point in life that you're in. It's easier, obviously, on a personal front if you're just out of college moving to a new country. But, you know, when you're moving kind of at the midpoint of your career, where the main premise for moving here was professional reasons, you know, it does end up taking up quite a bit of your time. As far as like professional networking events, you know, I found that going to local conferences to be helpful. You know, you can always meet a few people that are friendly that come out of that. And again, can help broker introductions. So, you know, the big thing has been to constantly just put yourself out there and try to meet as many people as possible. You know, even though going to a conference, for instance, it's so different. You know, in the U.S., where I've been in the technology sector my entire career, you'd walk into a room and you're bound to see quite a few familiar faces. You know, you've really built your network up. And here, every interaction is brand new. You know, there's never going to be a familiar face in the room. You're always walking in as a stranger, kind of just introducing yourself wherever you can, after a session, at the coffee bar, you know, wherever. Yeah. Kind of make small talk with people. But, you know, and that honestly has been one of the, I don't want to say more challenging, because it's not that challenging, but just it's been really different. You know, that's one of those aspects that's really put me out of my comfort zone, is just you never know anybody, you know, so you're always forced to really like put yourself out there and constantly go up and introduce yourself and find things to talk about and always do a very diligent job of following up with everybody you met. And
I mean, that's a very entrepreneurial mode. So it sounds like you're definitely flexing that muscle and you're sort of developing those skills. And it sounds like there's a lot of really great advice, actually, that you talked about, really putting yourself out there, going to conferences, and in every interaction, really being that, not a selling opportunity, but really you're engaging from not just a personal, but also a professional level too. And what were the things that you found most successful in putting yourself out there or really expanding the network? It sounds like it's just consistency and diligence, because a lot of people, you know, sometimes they'll look for that silver bullet, but in most cases, especially with entrepreneurship, there's no overnight success. It's always a lot of diligence and consistency. And it sounds like that's what you experienced.
Yeah, I think, you know, a few fold. So working with one of the larger telcos out here has been extremely helpful from a launching point, because they're able to broker introductions both internally as well as externally to some of their clients and partners. They've invited me to a lot of events, and they happen to be, they have a venture capital arm as well, and so they're an investor in our firm. And so that helps as well, because from it being a venture capital partner and an investor, you know, they want to see us succeed. So really staying close to all of the folks in that side of the organization. And, you know, they've been tremendously helpful. You know, I'd say that's been one of the biggest things, is kind of, you know, when you meet somebody, it's always trying to figure out a way to ask them for a follow-up with somebody else. You know, ask them for a new introduction, whether it's within my client base or whether it's meeting somebody on a personal basis.
I think that's a critical point, too. Maybe you kind of dive into what are some of the really successful ways that you found that, you know, you meet someone, you engage with them, and then you really needed to sort of leverage that relationship and sort of expand your network. But it can't be, you know, it can't be like, you know, like, oh, hey, can you give me 10-year contacts? It's got to be authentic, and you have to engage with them in a meaningful way.
I think just, you know, being pretty sincere with kind of where we are in our journey as a business. I think, you know, a lot of folks that I meet with, they can respect and appreciate what we're doing, you know, and that it's not the easiest thing to get launched off the ground immediately. And so I think, you know, part of it's just really trying to find a connection with people where they almost personally want to help you out. You know, I've had some contacts from former companies that I worked for where, you know, I might have had limited interaction at our previous organization simply because it's a big company and we're in different regions. You know, and I think that's been probably one of the more successful avenues, is starting with the people that you actually either personally know or you're one removed from, and then kind of expand from there. Same thing with, you know, going to conferences. You tend to find one or two people that are even in the same shoes as I am. So I find that this market has attracted, you know, individuals from the U.S., but also from Europe, as well as, you know, the Middle East, that are looking at certain sectors in Australia and taking success from other regions into this market. Because I do see the market being just a few years behind in certain aspects of technology than the U.S. And so it's a great opportunity for other international, like, technology leaders to come in and kind of take best practices to gain, you know, speed to market quickly here, And so, you know, it's just networking with individuals that are even in a similar category as myself, you know, and talking about their experiences and best practices. And, you know, so it's a lot of organizing, out of work discussions, lots of coffees, you know, lots of meetups, just sticking in people's brain. But I'd say that's been the most successful. It's like you really try not to eat lunch alone, try not to eat dinner alone, you know, try to constantly book your calendar so you're always with people and kind of picking their brain and trying to gain new insight.
Yeah, I think that's critical. And maybe as one final thought, to wrap up here, what would you, if you could go back, tell your previous self, you know, in the beginning when you first landed there in Melbourne, what would you tell yourself, hey, no matter what you do, don't do this? And is there one thing that you would probably give as advice to someone who's entrepreneurial, somebody who's really trying to put themselves out there? Never, ever do this. Learn it from my experience. I learned it the hard way. Don't repeat this.
So that's a good question. I figured you'd ask it in a different way. I was trying to think of what you might ask. And I figured go back and tell yourself at the beginning what this would be like. You know, I think some of my challenges, so there's two things I'd say people could fall into, you know. One is that it is a little overwhelming when you move somewhere new and you are dealing with just the day-to-day logistics of finding a place to live on your own, trying to set up bank accounts and phone plans and get everything sorted, you know, especially when you need to have three references for everything and you barely know three people and you might feel awkward asking them to be a reference on your living application.
Sometimes you just don't think about.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, the cart comes before the horse. You're trying to get a phone plan and they're asking you for three other pieces of identification that you haven't established yet because you don't even have a local phone number. And so, you know, the first 2 to 3 months were challenging in the sense that, you know, your whole life is just kind of in an upheaval. I was living in temporary housing. Every weekend was spent, you know, trying to find a place to live. If I could go back and do that over again, I think I would just invest the money in trying to get more of a relocation agent to really help with a lot of that. Because taking just that kind of logistical stress in addition to what you're trying to accomplish personally, professionally, it was just a lot, you know, because everything is so foreign and you almost don't know where to go, you know, to find answers to a lot of those questions. So, and then the other thing I would tell people, you know, that are looking to do something like this is you really have to mentally prepare for this sort of journey because things are always going to be unpredictable. You're always going to have experiences that you weren't anticipating. And, you know, it goes from this range of emotions of it's, you know, it's exhilarating and exciting and empowering to, you know, 2 months set in and all of a sudden, you know, the U.S. holidays start and it's not a holiday here. You're expected to be in meetings on Thanksgiving and, you know, and then it just, you start, the homesickness starts to kick in a bit. And you just have to be prepared that it's going to happen. You know, it's inevitable. You try to just plan around it, plan a fun activity here because, you know, I think you could really let a great experience like living abroad end up being a negative one if you have the wrong mindset about it. Having a type A personality where everything had to be planned out before, you know, you sometimes just have to like let go. You're not sure what the outcome's going to be, but you just have to kind of go with the flow and just kind of trust in the process. I made this decision for a reason and I trust that something great's going to come out of it. And even though that you may be having a challenging week, it's just you have to get over that. And that's the biggest thing. I think, you know, just kind of the mental preparation for this sort of journey is extremely important for people that are looking to make this sort of move.
Oh, I think that's really great advice. And I like that perspective about just having faith in the decision that you made and really following through and believing that there's going to be a really good outcome based on that decision. Because it sounds like from an entrepreneurial perspective, that's always going to have, you always have to be in that mode of, you know, having faith that what you're doing is positive and you're moving in the right direction. Well, Stephanie, it's been a fascinating conversation. I appreciate you joining the show. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Eden. I really enjoyed the opportunity to discuss this with you.
And that's our show for this week. Research for this podcast was powered by Sprinklr, the social media management platform. To find out more about them, you can go to sprinklrwithnoe.com. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so on iTunes or the podcatcher of your choice and leave us a review if you will. It helps others find us. Also, we love hearing from you, the listeners, your story ideas, your thoughts on the tech world, and what you're doing as well, so that we can make this show as relevant to your daily tech life as possible. So hit us up on Twitter using hashtag InTechWeTrust. We'll be checking that daily to start conversations, engage with people, and get your thoughts. You can also follow us at InTech_WeTrust and give us your thoughts there as well. See you next time. Oh.